I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. I got excited when they said unto me, I got excited when they said unto me, I got excited when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. I came running when they said unto me, oh, I came running when they said unto me, oh, I came running when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. I said amen. I said amen. 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 I said amen. 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 I said amen. 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 Come let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. Oh, I was glad to see all of you. I was glad to see all of you. When we came into the house of the Lord. When we came into the house of the
We'd like to welcome you all to Cowboy Church tonight. It's a beautiful evening out there. It's a great evening to be amongst God's people. The memory verse tonight was one taken from Psalm 122. So if you want to turn to Psalm 122, I'll be reading from there. And, it talks about going into the house of the Lord. And God set up the tabernacle in the wilderness for the children of Israel, and they called it the house of meeting, and Moses and Joshua would go there to meet with the Lord. And then, hundreds of years later, many centuries later, the temple was built in Jerusalem, and whereas in the wilderness, the presence of God was where the tabernacle was. The children of Israel would move and they would stop and they would put up the tabernacle. And the presence of God that had been going before them as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day would rest upon the house of meeting. And if you wanted to meet with God, that's where you went. And the only ones who had the go-ahead to do that, or had the courage to do that, or however it worked out, everybody was afraid. But Moses and Joshua went to the house of meeting. And then when David's son Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, God promised that his presence would be there. As long as his people would honor him and would obey his commandments, his presence would be there at the temple. And it was there until the prophet Ezekiel saw the presence of God leaving, because of his people had dishonored him and had disobeyed him so badly that his presence was no longer going to be at that place. And then when Christ died for our sins and he went and was glorified with his Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. And now God dwells with each of us. And today there is no house of meeting. There's no place that's marked by a pillar of fire or a cloud of hovering above it during the day. God indwells each and every one of us. And yet when we come together as God's people, we get an extra helping, because whereas when we're by ourselves during the week, we have God with us. But when we're together as his people, I have God with me, and you have God with you, and you have God with you, and we're all together, and he's manifested in our midst, and it's just an extra heaping helping of joy. And I'm just so happy for that tonight, and I'm just celebrating the fact. So if you would turn to Psalm 122, we're going to read through that right now. And it starts out, I was glad when they said to me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your presence among us. Lord, and as we remember, as we read the psalm, and we remember how it was, Lord, that your presence was in Jerusalem at that time. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God, that your presence is with us, and that here tonight, with all of us gathered together, you are in our midst, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Lord, we would like to honor the command in the psalm to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for the peace of your city tonight. We lift it up and we ask, God, that your hand of protection would be there, Lord, that your hand of peace would be there. I pray for all the troubles and turmoils and war that's going on there, God, that you would bring it to a quick end, that peace would once again be the hallmark of your city. Lord, I look forward to the day when you come for us, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I look forward to the day when you will set feet in the Mount of Olives and you will once again set up your kingdom in Jerusalem. And Lord, you will rule and reign from that place, and we will rule and reign with you. And God, we tremble at the thought of that day, and we thank you, God, that you have called us to be your children and that we have been allowed to participate in that. And yet, before that new Jerusalem, before we get there, Lord, you have set out things for us to do. And I pray tonight, as we are gathered here together, that you would prepare our hearts to do the things that you have called us to do. We thank you that you are our Lord, that you are our Savior, that you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm excited about the message the Lord has laid in my heart tonight. God wants our attention. And the question is, what form will that come in? So we're going to all rise. Can we all stand, please, and as I open in Scripture this evening? It's taken from Deuteronomy 31, starting in verse 6. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses called for Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among you as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Lord, I thank you tonight for your promise that you gave to your people Israel. And Lord, that covenant is still in effect today. It doesn't matter what people say, but Lord, you gave them that land. And Lord, you said you would bless those that bless your people and curse those that curse your people. And Lord, I pray for our country of Canada. God, forgive us for leadership that will not support your people. But Lord, we are your people, called by your name. And God, today we lift up Israel. And Lord, we are called to pray for the peace of Israel. And tonight, Lord, we gather here and we're united in that prayer as we pray for the peace of Israel. And Lord, that word for us today is be bold, be strong, be courageous. Lord, that was for then and it is for us to now. And Lord, for each one of us as we stand here tonight, God, that we will be courageous in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And now, Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth, I pray for good soil in this place. I pray for fertile soil. hungry soil. And Lord, that your word will take root and bear fruit that will last for eternity. In your precious name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. Glory. God wants our attention. So for each one of us tonight, right away the thought is, how does he do that? How does God get our attention? Just want to share, back when the United States joined into the Second World War, and there was a young Hollywood star by the name of Jimmy Stewart. He's actually one of my favorite. If you like Westerns, I like him in all movies. He was just good, you know. And I love old Westerns because the bad guy gets what he deserves and the good guy rides off into the sunset with that beautiful maiden, you know. I love Westerns. They always end so well. But young Jimmy Stewart, he felt called to enlist into the Army Air Corps. And he would eventually become an officer and also a pilot of one of the bombers, and he would fly many, many bombing missions. But the important part here is that when he left home, when he was to leave to serve, his father put in his shirt pocket, into his son's shirt pocket, Psalm 91. And tonight I want you to read that Psalm. Tonight I felt moved to preach from the New Living Translation. Usually I do the New King James, but bear with me. I'm sure we won't lose our salvation because I'm in the New Living Bible. So we should be all right here tonight. Amen?
Amen.
New Living, Psalm 91. I'm just going to read just the two verses. This would be a great psalm. Actually, they call this Psalm 9-11. It's a 9-11 psalm. If you're in dire straits and you're calling upon the Lord, this is one you should have on your fridge with all your grandchildren's pictures, right beside there. Psalm 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. Here it is, don't miss it. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Glory. He is my God, and I will trust in him. Now, let's just clarify this just for a moment. Does that mean that you're never going to experience pain or loss or testing? Doesn't say that. But I want to tell you tonight, God will see you through every one of them. He will. He's going to see, as we sang in that song tonight, we're going to see him on the other side of the river. We are. And that's where we're all heading. But Psalm 91 lays that out so clearly. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. Him and alone will I trust. Now the question I want to ask you tonight, what is the easiest response? Is it, will you find in it a whisper or a shout? What is the easiest to hear? A whisper or a shout? A shout. You'll always hear a shout. When we're in pain, we're saying, God, where are you? Do you see this mess I'm in down here? Do you care? And God will use his creation many times to get our attention. Whether it's in fires, earthquakes, volcanoes, hailstones, tornadoes, it'll come in many different forms. And in that, you will see God's power and you will see his presence. Have you ever stood and watched an electrical storm? I know we haven't had lightning for ages, not that I miss it, and not that we need it. But with it should come rain, right? But have you ever stood and when the lightning hit, you just literally felt that thing go right through you? Or, bam, you hit the bang, you just, whoa. Being raised in Saskatchewan, don't hold that against me. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me into your province. I appreciate it. We used to have electrical storms in Saskatchewan. Maybe it was because I was a kid, but they were bad. You'd have the heat of the day, and then that storm, you'd see them clouds start rolling in. And this is what Dad would do. We'd get up in the middle of the night, and we'd grab our little pillows, and we'd hold them against the windows. Because the hailstones are hitting that hard, you're trying to keep the glass in the place. And you're sitting there, standing, shaking, and that thing is just cracking, and lighting up. You could see straight. I mean, we had a yard light that was amazing. That thing was just boom. But the wonders of God, the power of God, His presence. And many times He will use His creation to get our attention. Not always. Don't run out and say, well, Pastor Ken said, just because the water's really running down the street, it's God trying to get your... Just, whoa, whoa. No. That's not what I'm saying. But He will use His creation to get our attention. Remember the Israelites coming out of Egypt? The 11 plagues? Who created all that? Who created the fly? The gnat? All those things. God spoke them into existence. But let's just start with one of the greatest ones. We might as well just start right off in chapter 6. We're not even very far into the book. And God is going to use one of His creations to judge the world. So we're going to pick up on in Genesis chapter 6. Tonight I'm going to give you a lot of scripture and we're going to be all over the Bible. And for those of you that are falling asleep, I want your neighbor to give you a nudge and he'll wake you up. So here we go. Genesis 6, verse 5. Here it is. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. Wow, that sounds like today. Is this today? That's the news tonight. And He saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry He had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke His heart. God created us in His image and we're breaking His heart by what we're doing. Do you think that's happening today? Do you know, I've tried to basically get myself off the news. You know, I know you can't stick your head in the sand and say it's not here, but it's just like every day and there's a shooting in Edmonton or just on and on. We never used to have that. There was a time back in the 50s, nobody locked their doors in Edmonton. Can you believe that? We'll continue on. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I've created from the face of the earth. Boy, that's sobering. I wonder if this earth is due for judgment again. Possible. In verse 7, which I'll read again, the Lord said, I'll wipe this human race I've created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing. All the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky, I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Well, there's always a remnant. I pray every one of us here tonight have found favor with the Lord. That's between you and God. Have you found favor with God? There's always a remnant. Remember when Elijah, and he had just destroyed the priests of Baal, Jezebel said, "You're a dead man." And Elijah ran. He ran. I'll tell you, a woman will put a scare into you. She will. Elijah's just smoking across that desert because he feared Jezebel's going to get him. And he finally gets to the mountain and he's just done. He's totally depressed. And God comes and has a little chat with Elijah. And he said, "Like, what are you doing here?" I'm the only one left. There's nobody else. And Jezebel's after me. Went straight into depression. And God had a talk with Elijah. Elijah said, "I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock." And God went by with an earthquake, fire, and the wind. But God was not found in there. He created it. But in the still, small voice, God spoke to Elijah. Said, "Come on." Did you know, Elijah, that there's still 7,000 more that didn't bow to Baal? Did you know that? Come on, Elijah. I still have a work for you to do. And God is saying that to some of us tonight. You might be saying, "I'm at the end of it. I'm done with this thing. Nothing is happening in my life. I'm praying for healing and nothing's changing." But I'm here to tell you tonight, God is on the throne and he loves you and he cares for you and he knows everything about you. So tonight, God wants our attention. And we continue on. "But Noah found favor with the Lord." And this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. And Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. And God observed all this corruption in the world, for everything on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, "I have decided to destroy all living creatures for you, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I'll wipe them all out along with the earth." Wow. So God covered this earth with water. Everything was covered. Even Mount McKinley in Alaska, which is some 23,000 feet high. I remember when we were flying over Mount McKinley, well, Obama changed it to Mount Denali, and Trump has changed it back, so I don't know what it is right now, but you go ahead and Google it, whatever it is. What is it called now? Special. Oh, it's special. Okay. Mount Special. When we flew over that day to minister in Fairbanks, and it was a clear day, and that mountain is so high, it makes its own weather patterns. And we were flying about 32,000 feet, and it felt like you could literally reach down and touch the snow caps on top of that mountain. All summer long, it just has its own weather patterns. The snow never disappears. But God covered everything. Everything was destroyed. Except that little family of eight. That little family. It took Noah 120 years to build that ark. Say to his sons in the morning, "So boys, what are we going to do today?" "I know, Dad, work on the ark." "I'm so tired of working on the ark, Dad." "It's okay, son. We got nothing else to do anyhow. Let's work on the ark." 120 years. It doesn't say this in the Word, but I wonder if he didn't have, you'd have to have crews. You know, it probably hired people, I would think. Because I can't see four men building this thing by themselves. Have you ever tried to build something with your wife? No, I'm just kidding. No. I want happy marriages here tonight. Yeah, been there. Been there, done that? She's holding it down here and you're up. No, I'm just kidding. But 120 years, what a witness to the people. He probably had crews coming in, shifts, payroll. Doesn't say that, I'm just. But they built the ark. And 8 people were saved. And if you go to look today, and if I did a series on Revelation, you would still see Shem, Ham, and Jebeth in there. It's carried right over. The nations came out of those ones and the different areas that they settled. It's still there. But God used that because man had become that depraved, and God said, that is enough. So he used his creation to deal with man's sin, and he still does. He still does. And so in our lives, there's times that God shouts from heaven by means of natural disasters. We've had some. I wonder, do you think God was trying to tell us something? This isn't in my notes. Sometimes I just kind of wander a little off my notes. Is that okay? Well, you don't know what my notes are anyhow, so it really doesn't matter. So just stay with me, okay? We'll get there. I'm just wondering, the fire, the first one in Slave Lake, you think God was trying to get our attention?
Yes.
Maybe. Well, we didn't get it there, so let's try Fort Mac. Did he get our attention there?
Nope.
So what about Jasper? I just wonder. I'm not saying that every disaster, as I've said, is from God. But I wonder sometimes. Did you know after 9/11 that for 6 months after that, horrific loss, that 6 months after that, people were lined up outside the churches in the Bronx, in New York. But after 6 months, it kind of lost. Just, okay, well, I guess we're okay. I knew years ago when we were living in Kelowna, during their regatta, once that particular summer, they had rioting. They basically destroyed the downtown of Kelowna. So the church we were with, some of our leadership went to see the mayor and said, we'd like to help. But we think we need to start with, it was bad. They just destroyed everything. And went to the mayor and we said, we think we should start by reading scripture from the mayor's office, and we'd do it 20 around the clock. And the churches would organize it, and we'll all do this reading. Whatever days it takes, it's right around the clock. And the mayor said, we're desperate. We can't have this. We're a tourist place. We can't have this reputation. So churches, you organize it, you have my office. So I don't know how many days, nights it took, read through the word. And then we said on Friday nights and Saturday nights, we want the people to come down and just walk on the streets of Kelowna for peace. That went well for about 3 years. And then all of a sudden, here it comes again. The darkness and the destruction. And the beer gardens. And guys smoking a joint on the corner. That's where it always goes. What is it about us? What is it about us? We can see God's hand move, and yet we want to go back to the pigsty we came out of. What is it about us? It's the sinful nature of us. Israelites, God brought out of Egypt, and it says In three generations, the next generation knew not God. God was the creator of the rainbow. Nobody else created that. God did. And God put the rainbow in place as a reminder he will never, ever cover the earth again with water. So next time you see that rainbow, you just get out there and just say, thank you, Lord. The rainbow was never created, and some of you can get mad at me, and I really don't care. Was never created to be walked on the streets. My rainbow that God created was never meant, be honest, it was meant to be in the sky as a promise. And I pray you understand that promise. So we're going to continue on Matthew 24. I want to go to the New Testament now and back up what I've just read in the old, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 32. Verse 32, Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. You know by the signs. Did anybody have to tell you spring is here? No. You just went out and smelled the lilacs. You know it was here. The four seasons will stay in place till Jesus comes back. At leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return. Wow. Oh. Is that your Bible? Does your Bible say that too? When you start to see these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. And it's not Amazon at the door. Let's clarify that. It's not Amazon. That was good, actually. I thought that was quite good, really. That just kind of came. I don't know where that came from, but it was good. And well, I'll get over it. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Do you know one of the greatest signs was when Israel became a nation of May the 15th, 1948. Amen. That is the greatest sign that Jesus is coming back. Can a nation be reborn? Can it come back, be born out of nothing? There hasn't been another nation that has come back. But they are God's people, and he brought them back to that land, and that land has blossomed. Anyone that has been there, as far as you can see, there's crops and abundance. That little piece of real estate has enough food they can feed all of Europe. There, I love tomatoes, but those tomatoes in Israel, you just want to eat them like ice cream. Like it's, and they're cucumbers. And they're pomegranate. You just go buy one of them big pomegranates, they cut it and they put it in that juicer and you get that glass of pomegranate. You think, this is about as close to heaven as I'm going to get. It's awesome. That is the land that God said will produce once again once his people come home. And as we continue, I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words shall never disappear. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows. I just want to stop there for a moment. I think sometimes we as, I can get really upset at other preachers. I can. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying. Why would you take this scripture verse, and I've heard them say, the Son knows everything. Because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, he knows everything. But what does this verse say? He doesn't know. So why would you say he does? I mean, I don't want to make an issue of it. But why do you take scripture and kind of move it around? If it says that, then that's what it is. Leave it alone. I'll settle down here now. I got to get over that. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like, what's your Bible say? Like the days of what? We just started in chapter 6 on that. And here we are in Matthew. And Jesus is saying this. He's referring, it will be like the days of Noah. What was it like in the days of Noah? What is it like today? A lawless, godless society. Right will be as wrong, and wrong will be as right, and each man will do that which is right in his own eyes. For those of us sitting in this room, we're seeing things we never ever thought we'd see. Never thought I'd see. And it should shock us. We should be shocked by some of the things we're seeing. In those days, before the flood, here it is, people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. That doesn't mean you go sell your house and build a log cabin up in the bush. It doesn't mean that. We are to occupy till Jesus comes back. We are his ambassadors. Wherever you're placed, bear fruit. But you should have one hand on the plow and one heavenward. If I were to say to you right now, Jesus is coming back in 10 minutes, what would you do? Just work with me for a minute. What would be the first thing you do? Oh, I've got a roast in the oven. I've got to get home. It don't matter. I've got to go home and let my dog out. I'm just, come on. What would you do? To me, I'm just saying, Lord, I just pray that I'm ready. I don't want to miss this. That's where I'd be. It's too late to go and share the gospel with somebody. It's too late. It ain't going to happen. That's why you need to do it now. It says it'll happen in the twinkling of an eye. That quick. Just as quick as your little eyeball clicks. Boom. And that Jesus that came down as a baby, this time he's coming back as a king, and we'll meet him in the clouds. And we need to be ready for that day. No man knoweth the time or the hour, not even the Son. We just read that. But you need to be ready. Are you all with me tonight? All of a sudden got real quiet in here. You still love me? I hope you do. Because I'm just reading to you what God is telling you. He's telling you that. I don't know how much clearer as a preacher I could tell you tonight. Because God loves you and he doesn't want one to be left behind. It tells you very clear there's going to be a command and a trumpet blast. And the only ones that are going to hear it are those that have invited Jesus into their hearts and they're born again. Everyone else is going to hear zip. That's why we should have spiritual ears and spiritual eyes. And you'll know by the signs around you what is going on. This might be a very poor analogy, but it's another one of those things that just came into my head. We could always tell on the farm when a storm was coming. And you know those old cows? Usually they were the dumbest animals. I like steak, but they were dumb. And when I'd go to get them, do you know where they're the farthest end of the pasture. It's as if they know it's time to come home, but nope, there they are, way at the other end. If I didn't like steak so much, But when there was a storm coming, those old animals lined up in front of the barn. That's where we are. You need to sense it. Something is happening. Get your spiritual ears up and your spiritual eyes open and look around. What's going on in our world today? We're not walking around wringing my hands. Oh, my goodness, it's just getting really bad. No. Be bold. Be strong. Don't be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you. Man, that's good preaching. Got one more scripture verse. I'm not done with you yet. We're going to go to Matthew 16. Back up a little bit. Matthew 16, 1 to 3. This is a good one. They're all good. One day the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. And he replied, "You know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day." Okay, just for a minute, let's just look at this in modern times. Most of you start your day out, you flip up whatever device you have and you say, "Well, what's it going to be like today?" Well, today it changed so many times, I don't even know what time today was like. I think mine is the only car that I have two lawn chairs in the back, an umbrella, mosquito repellent, sunscreen, a toque, and a hoodie just in case. Because you never know, you could hit the four seasons today. And so you kind of know by the signs, you're watching the sky, okay, the clouds are rolling in. Should I have my raincoat on or my winter coat? I'm not sure. But he's saying to them, you know by the signs of what's happening in the natural. But then he goes on to say, you know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the time. Missed it? Don't miss it. And if you can't see it, say, "Lord, help me to see it. Give me the ears. I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening for your voice. What is it? I'm listening. I'm seeing." And Lord, when there is a catastrophe and you're trying to get my attention, God, I'm listening. I'm seeing. You know how to interpret the weather, but you don't know how to interpret the signs. God wants our attention. Does he have it? Do you see it happening in the world? Does he have the world's attention? Probably not. It was just like, shh. Don't hear, Mama, don't see. But we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we can hear it and we can see it. So in my heart, I'm ready. In my heart, I'm ready. And as we started out, in Deuteronomy, God said, be bold, be strong. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you. We're not looking at the future through fear. We're looking at our future through faith. Faith in our Lord, our Savior, and our King. That is how I'm looking at my future. And I pray tonight that the word that I brought to you, I pray that word came straight from the throne room just for you tonight. Because the word very clearly said, woe to the shepherds if I don't bring you the word. So that someday I can stand before my Lord and Savior and say, dear Jesus, I told them. I told them. God wants your attention. I pray tonight when you leave this place, those words will ring in your ears. Now receive the blessing. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, shalom.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. O'er all these wide extended plains shine one eternal day, where God the Son forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? For I shall see my Father's face and in His bosom rest. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, come and go with me. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come? Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.